This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
Father God, I do ask that you would grant unto us, even as we sit here this morning, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would give us grace to hear you in the word that we have just heard. And Lord, that you would meet us in the sacrament. We pray particularly for the confirmands, those who are receiving the laying on of hands today, that they would encounter the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Today, of course, as the children reminded us, this is Ascension Sunday, and nicely catechized everybody. Well done. This event, this ascension of Jesus, Jesus ascending into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, is, well, that and ultimately Pentecost are the inaugural events of this book, the Book of Acts, which is more fully articulated the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. The first things that happen in the Acts of the Apostles are the ascension of Jesus and the pouring out of the Spirit. Those events serve as signs of the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Or, put it a different way, the deeds of the Apostles, the actions, the ministry of the Apostles, which is ultimately the beginning of the ministry of the church. Even as we say that ascension is the inaugural event of the Acts of the Apostles, ascension is the inaugural event of the Acts of the church, the ministry of the church which is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The ascension of Jesus and the ensuing day of Pentecost inaugurate the life and the ministry of the church. And it's very important because as we read through the book of Acts and we see the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the life of the church, we see any number of amazing things. And because as we see any number of amazing things in this book of Acts, I want to invite you to continue to anticipate seeing amazing things in the Acts of the Apostles, in the ministry of the church. The day of Pentecost, which we will remember next week, the Spirit is poured out on the disciples, wind, fire, and tongues. Peter and John are going to the temple and they meet this crippled man, and they say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." St. Paul, before he was St. Paul, before he was saintly at all, encounters this vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus that changes the entire direction of his life. And throughout the book of Acts, we see this spontaneous expansion of the church. The Acts of the Apostles, the ministry of the church, is inaugurated in the ascension of our Lord and the sending of the Holy Spirit. The Acts of the Apostles, the ministry of the church, is a wild ride. And if it doesn't seem that way, we're missing something. Ascension is important, and indeed, it's essential to that ministry. It's essential to the ministry of the church. Well, why? Why is the ascension important to the ministry of the church, to the Acts of the Apostles? Well, we might, sort of a cheap way, it gives us a good reason to explain why Jesus isn't here this Sunday. He's somewhere else. But that's, of course, not the fundamental reason why Jesus ascended into heaven. There are three things that I think are important to the ascension that actually undergird the mission of the church, the Acts of the Apostles. The first is this: the ascension of Jesus is the establishment of Jesus' kingdom, the establishment of his rule and reign. If you were watching just a few weeks ago, King Charles III there was a coronation service for King Charles III. And of course, Charles became king as soon as Elizabeth II died. But there was this event that acknowledged, that enthroned him as king. Ascension is that for Jesus. Jesus has been king. In fact, the inauguration of his kingdom really comes in his death and resurrection. That has begun then. But at ascension, it is like his coronation day. Because on that day, he rises to the right hand of God and is enthroned and is seated at the right hand of God, exercising his reign and rule. This is from Revelation chapter 11, 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The Acts of the Apostles, the ministry of the church, is possible only through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, because they inaugurate the rule of Christ, the rule of God. The church cannot function. The church cannot do its work outside the kingdom that is established in Christ Jesus. And the Acts of the Apostles, the deeds of the Apostles, the miracles of the book of Acts, the miracles on the life of the church, are manifestations of the reign of Christ. They indeed are true about the miracles, those fantastic things of walking and leaping and praising God, the conversion of St. Paul. But there are manifestations also in the triumph of mercy and forgiveness in our relationships and in the world. That is the reign of Christ established at the ascension, seated at the right hand of God. The reign of Christ is in the world, but it's also in us. The reign of Christ is established in us. Mercy and grace comes to us and is expressed by us. We see this most particularly, I think, early in the book of Acts, when St. Stephen, the first martyr, like Jesus, prays for those who are killing him. That is a manifestation of the reign of Christ in his people. So the ascension is the enthronement of Jesus, the establishment of his reign, and the end of his earthly ministry, but the beginning of his heavenly ministry, which matters. Jesus is not in glory falling asleep. Jesus in glory is exercising his high priestly ministry. The book of Hebrews speaks of Jesus constantly as our great high priest. And he says this, and we read this in the book of Hebrews. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus, in his ascension and his reign at the right hand of God, is our great high priest. He is in this moment, my dear brothers and sisters. He's interceding for you, for the world. He's praying for you and for the world. Jesus, as our high priest, is our advocate. He advocates for us. We read this in John's first epistle. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, in the New Testament, there's this really interesting language about guilt and innocence and forgiveness of sin. And there is an advocate, Jesus, the advocate, who is advocating for us. He is our defense attorney. And why do we need a defense attorney? Because we have an accuser. We read this, "Now the salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." Not only before God, but if you pay attention to some of the inner voices in your own heart, you will have heard the voice of the accuser who is speaking condemnation and shame to you. But we have an advocate with the Father, our great high priest, who is speaking always, interceding always, advocating always to God for us. The ministry of the Acts of the Apostles, the ministry of the church, is founded upon the rule and reign of Christ because he is at the right hand of God. But it is supported also by the high priestly ministry of God in Christ Jesus who is praying for you this very moment. And the third thing is this. Ascension, of course, is tied to Jesus sending the Holy Spirit upon the church. This in John 16th chapter of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus, at his ascension, at the event of his ascension, is preparing the apostles for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We read this morning from Acts. And while staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Well, why is the sending of the Spirit so important? Well, what does Jesus say? Why does Jesus think it's important? When he's questioned about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, Jesus responds basically saying, those times are frankly none of your business. But, that's why he's basically what he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Two things. Why is the Holy Spirit important? Because you will receive power. You know, we're really sometimes in our culture today a little iffy on the word power, because power is often abused, which it is. But it doesn't mean it's a bad thing in and of itself. Indeed, Jesus clearly understands that the power of the Holy Spirit, again, the Greek word is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. The power of the Holy Spirit is large. The Spirit is powerful. And Jesus says, get ready for this, friends, that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I grew up in rural Nova Scotia, in sort of a fairly sort of, well, uptight is a strong word, but stiff, Presbyterian kind of environment, stiff. And of course, there are other people, there are other religious expressions in the community. In fact, we had a Pentecostal church that was about 15 miles away, and they were truly Pentecostal. We all called them Holy Rollers. And I only found out later in life we called that because they would often be, I mean, historically, they would be rolling in the aisles, so they were Holy Rollers. I didn't understand why that word came from, but now I do. And we always think of those words, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, as for the province of the Charismatics and the Pentecostals. No, 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 my friends. They're Jesus' words. Jesus says that you will be baptized in the Spirit. This may come as bad news to you, but we as Anglicans, and we will remember this particularly next week in Pentecost, we're charismatic Christians. We are Pentecostal Christians because we believe in the Holy Spirit, to be baptized, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. We receive power in that. Power for two things. Power, certainly, to perform miracles and signs and wonders, but power also to live out our lives. And there's a connection here, of course, to confirmation. And the laying on of hands in the New Testament is always there for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Spirit is imparted to us. We are filled with the Spirit in other ways and at other times. But very specifically in the New Testament, when the apostles laid their hands on people, it was for the imparting of the Holy Spirit. That's why in confirmation, I mean, just to put it in the right context, when I lay hands on these confirmants, I'm asking for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not warm to that, you should tell me that before I do it, because that's what I'm going to be doing. The reality is, as I said earlier, that mitre, and I suspect that not everybody in the room, not just the children, didn't understand why I was wearing a pointy hat, but the reality is that mitre is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and a reminder that it is the pouring of the Holy Spirit that we have power to do might and great and mighty things, and that and also the power to be transformed in ourselves. And that leads us to the second thing why the Spirit is important, because the Spirit empowering us, and Jesus says this, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What the Spirit does, empowers in us, is empowers us to be witnesses of Christ, to demonstrate the reality, the kingdom of God in the world. his transforming, his healing power, his sanctifying power to believers changes us so that our lives, our conduct, our, to use the word I've been using a lot, our acts would bear witness to the kingdom of God. That is what the Spirit is for, to empower us to be witness to Christ. Again, for confirmation, when I was confirmed many, many years ago, the language really was, well, you're doing this because you're joining the church. Well, frankly, as I understand it, I joined the church when I was baptized. I think it was grafted in then. Something else is happening here. There is an impartation. In this adult profession of faith, there's an impartation of the power of the Spirit that we might be witnesses of Christ in the world. And that's not true, of course, for just the confirmands. It's true for all of us that we'll be witnesses of Christ in the world. So, Ascension and Pentecost. Inauguration of the Acts of the Apostle, the beginning of the ministry of the church in the world. And that ministry is made possible because in the Ascension, the rule and reign of Christ is established in heaven. That ministry is supported by, it is enabled by, the high priestly ministry of Jesus, who always lives to make intercession for us, to be our advocate. And that ministry and mission, those acts, are filled with, empowered by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, giving us power to bear witness to Jesus in signs and wonders and in the transformation of our own lives. I want to go back to what I said at the beginning, that the book of Acts reminds us that the Christian life is an amazing life. It's kind of a wild ride. And as we're confirmed, as we invite the Holy Spirit in our midst, we should anticipate a wild ride, because that's what it's really about, is a great adventure. I said something to the graduates of Trinity a couple of weeks ago when they were being sent into the world after having finished their degrees, after their seminary work. I said something to them that seems appropriate to the confirmands and to all of us in the church who are inviting the Spirit to empower our witness in the world. I'm going to say this now. It's a wild ride, friends. So buckle up and let's go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Would you pour your Spirit upon us this day? Would you release the power of your Spirit within us? Lord, we thank you that your reign is established. We thank you for your intercessory prayer, your high priestly intercession for us continually. And we ask, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit, that we might be your witnesses forever and ever. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.